It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, coming to you live on the night of the English language debates here in Canada. My name is Joey. That's Len. This is the 396th edition of the newsletter, bringing you the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And buddy, what's going on? Are you watching? You're taking in the debates en anglais ce soir?
No, not today. No. This is day one of tennis outdoors. That's what it is. That's what really counts.
the true measuring stick.
right. The weather has finally turned just enough to finally, to do it. And I have some free time. It's just the sun and stars were all aligned perfectly. And So how are things over there? Are you enjoying the weather as well?
They're good. I went to the local brewery after work to grab a mixed six of tall boys here. So I'm enjoying the lightest of the bunch on this long weekend Thursday.
Do you have a can there?
Yeah, it's a Lagershed Ultra. I like a lot of Lagershed products. They're not bad. And it's local, right? I try, like I always say on our show, I try and support local as often as I can for a number of reasons. But among them, because I like hanging out, in places that feel like they're not big box, they're not corporate, they're not whatever, right? So, and it's not a bad deal. I think it was six beers for $20. And it's nice to take a walk with the family, bring the dog, bring the baby. Wife is pushing the stroller there. It's, the Canadian dream, at least pre-2014 or 15 it was. I don't know what you would say about that now. But
man, the price, I remember Laker, it's a buck a beer.
Yeah. We used to drink Brava in university all the time. 24 beers, $24. Yeah,
that was
bringing 2-4 every weekend.
Yeah. And I don't think I've drank beer in maybe 15 years. I maybe had 10 beers in my whole life. I can't tell the difference between one brand and another. I can't tell the difference between a lager and an ale or
whatever. I used to be like that. And I would say to you, Len, that a lot has changed. There's obviously like the international bitterness units measurement. Though I think it feels to me like it's more related to something in the beer, like more than flavor. Cause I wouldn't say that more beers are bitter, but I think hoppy is the word that, real beer guys use.
I heard that.
I'm not sure what the bitterness units are like, but it's easy to tell for me anyway, like a couple of differences between the heavies, but
like a Guinness.
Guinness is a great beer. It's very light and it's I would say like
that was heavy,
smooth. It's not. It actually has less calories than a Coors Light, if you can believe that.
Oh, see, I thought when you meant heavy, it's like that thickness because Guinness is a thicker beer. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's creamy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's coffee flavors there a little bit.
Never had even a sip of a Guinness. I have no idea what it tastes like.
If you ever change your mind about the beers there, you let me know. We'll go for a pint of Guinness someplace around here and do a meetup while we're at it.
It's hard to truly understand given how I am, but I'm almost 100% just a water dude. Almost 100%. I just like my water.
I think a lot of people
tap
like that.
Water.
Yeah,
give it
same.
To me all day long.
Same. I don't care how much fluoride's in it. I drink. I was actually saying to my wife that I carry around like a water bottle. I mean, you see me with it at work too. I try and get through three of them every day, which I think is probably like 5-ish liters, if I had to guess. So. That's like a regular day should be, I think for a lot of people, like you're under nourishing yourself as far as hydration. You should be drinking a lot more water. And if you listen to Bitcoin Twitter the last few days, creatine too, also making the rounds as a supplement of choice. Replace all your calories with creatine and you'll become a better man.
For the water intake, I think the best metric is to take a look at the color of your pee.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, sure. To tell if you're dehydrated. Yeah, definitely.
Just to tell it if you need more water in general.
Totally agree
or not,
with that.
Right?
Yeah,
like
totally
if it's, totally clear,
should be close to clear, though, I think.
Yeah, it shouldn't be any like too yellowish, obviously.
No.
Way more.
As the boys used to say, at the stalls back in the day, you're pissing copper. It's time to have something something clear in your cup. Anyway, that's pee talk for today. Let's get to the newsletter. Last week's quote, mind is the cause and what we term matter or the visible is effect. That was by Ernest Holmes. Congrats to John, our winner. It feels like John has won a few of these things since we've been doing this newsletter. So John, much like the people ripped off by identity fraud and getting just stacks and stacks of credit monitoring, John now many, many renewals on the house coming his way. This week's quote, some things have to be believed to be seen. If you know who that was by, without Googling, obviously you guys know the rules, put it in the comments. Your next round of renewals on Easy DNS. Take some money out of Mark's pocket and get the question right. Where do you want to start? I think there's, is there six tonight? Yeah, there is six stories.
There are six. The last one's a little bit of a unique one. So
you pick.
Well, anyway, we'll dive right into it. This Blue Shield of California story where, well, it's the health insurance company for people who are unaware. They were pwned in a very unique way. And what happened, they've been using Google Analytics on their website, and somehow this enabled Google Ads to get access to sensitive data on their website. Given what information is stored by these folks over there, by the Blue Shield of California, could be pretty nasty. So when did this happen? For sure, they say it happened on February 11, 2025. So February 11th of this year. But this setup of using the Google Analytics that was integrated, embedded in their website, was in place for many years, from April 2021 to January 2024, when they say the connection was severed. But if the connection was severed, how did they get access this year in February? Mm-hmm. Something just doesn't make sense to me, but I digress. Google was using this to send the information they were collecting, then for sending out targeted ads. And the information they were kind of getting was like insurance plan details, patient information, financial responsibility, family size.
Genders. Anything important there? I'm waiting for something important to come up.
Well, see all these things I mentioned here? They say at least that Social Security and driver's license numbers were not given up. God. And also banking and credit card information. I feel so much better that that information wasn't given. But all that other stuff, especially related to their medical things, just was provided to them. Either way, what are they going to get from this? Do you think they're going to get 1 year of free walk-in medical services by specific doctors that are underperforming in California? I'm wondering.
Underperforming doctors will do the work for free. Thanks.
Yeah, so might as well try to pump up their reviews. Man. So Google was somehow capturing all this information, using it. What do they do with this? Well, they're creating digital fingerprints on people, right? Like if they're sending targeted ads, now they have even more information, sensitive information potentially, that they could use to identify an individual, have a digital fingerprint associated with them.
Yeah.
Sure, they'll send them targeted ads. You know, that's maybe the least of the worries. But what are they going to do with this information? Like, this is very scary stuff.
The best part of this, I think, you mentioned the date there. Just I want to read right from the article. I do this every week, okay? The report also notes, this is a quote, the report also notes that while as of April 10th, the breach was not listed on the DHHS Office for Civil Rights site, due to the length of time the connection with Google Ads was active, this is likely to be a sizable data breach affecting many Blue Shield of California members. So from February until April, no notification on the Health and Human Services website. It's what is the, I get that, you know, Blue Shield, obviously a big player, probably doing a lot of donating during political campaigns. Obviously we just elected a new president, or they just elected a new president in the United States. You could not convince me that there's any reason to keep this off a government website for that long. Because it's not just the company, right? The HHS knew about it and didn't write anything, no notice. RFK is out there, obviously. You know, what's he doing? He's talking about, do we have too many kids with autism? Is there fluoride in the water? Meanwhile, stuff that's like happening now, affecting people now, it's not mentioned. And we do this every week, it feels like, with at least one story. This idea that there's no responsibility to notify people in a timely manner. And when there isn't notification in a timely manner, there's no punishment, no regulation, no law, nothing. So you got people here, as you mentioned, families with their data out there, everything except the Social Security number and driver's license number, but a bunch of other stuff, dependents and whatnot. Like, you know, you're in an era where there's a lot of online creeps, I'm not going to talk about the stories, but you know the stories. You don't want any information about your family out there. Not your address, not your medical conditions, nothing. Like, you can imagine a scenario where some sicko gets information about a medical condition and approaches your child after school and has a little bit of inside information and, you know, tries to get the kid's trust, you know? And just nothing. No notice, no mention, no nothing. It's unacceptable, but it's the norm. And this is another example of why there should be legislation that makes this illegal, or at least costly, you know, whatever costly means to a huge insurance provider. I'm not sure, but definitely not zero. This is another zero.
Yeah, considering that there's a lot of lobbyists that are working for these folks out there, it's going to be...
Are they the biggest lobby group, you think? Insurers? They got to be close,
right? I don't
know. Yeah, war. It's got to be one of the defense contractors, but the insurers got to have a big
oil and gas, maybe too.
Yeah, energy. Yeah, it's possible too.
Yeah, but anyway, so let's go move on to Hertz, because they left their customers hurting after revealing that customer data was stolen, and this breach, the notification was issued on April 14th, so just yesterday. Well, actually, on Monday this week we got it, and the number of customers exposed is not yet known. But the information that they took, the same old stuff, you know, they have the contact information, their name, credit card, driver's license information, date of birth. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And also details related to workers' compensation claims were involved. Workers' compensation hurts? Anyways.
I don't know.
Social security number or other government identification, passport information, Medicare and Medicaid information was taken. Like, if whoever's, like, you know, this Medicaid data, whoever's gotten it, like, they, it's got to be pretty easy to locate who it is that has it, right? They can just cross-reference what Google has, given what they stole from the Blue Cross of California. Now they can just figure out now who's using this Medicaid information. They should be able to pinpoint and figure out who the heck is using it. Yeah. And on top of this, this information was all stolen. Why? Because of a Clio file transfer. I'm pretty sure we talked about Clio last week.
We did.
It's a secure way of transferring data. And
it's not secure. It's not, like, last week wasn't secure. This week is not secure. And I'm pretty sure we talked last week about other companies who were using this. And here we are. The next week, we get a story where it's, you know, the center of another data breach. It's brutal. Yeah.
And they identified a flaw in the Clio file transfer protocol. And really, it's used something else. There's some good open source things. I'm pretty sure it's like, there's an FTP that is secure, that's open source. Not FTP itself, but there's a secure version of it that's encrypted. There are options out there. Take advantage of what is there that's been tried, tested, and true. What can I say? And the information that they have, come on, Medicaid information hurts? Like, why? I'm not sure. Figure out why they would get this information, but they have it somehow. But
is it from staff? Maybe. It's hard to say, honestly. And looking at the story, like, it's the usual stuff here. At the time of the mass exploitation event, Clio patched its Harmony VL Trader, Lexicon products against these different vulnerabilities. Blah blah blah. But it's never enough. It's never enough. Hertz is a company that's been circling the drain for a long time, and, you know, when I think about companies who are working diligently on data security, even the guys who are monoliths in the space, I mean, once a month, probably, we talk about Google, Microsoft, Facebook, stuff like that. Guys who find vulnerabilities with their products, with their web extensions, with their office software, with whatever. And they're at the top of their game. Hertz is a company that's like one more bad news release from adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet to try and save the stock price, right? And, like, you can't trust that company with your data. But again, there's no legislation, no suggestion from regulators, no suggestion from stockholders or the financial press or anything that, like, these companies that are about to basically have the legs chopped out from underneath them should have to secure data or archive data in a secure way and take it off of these clearly accessible means of storage. Or accessible products, like, you know, you mentioned the Clio transfer service there. Well, I don't understand why that's not the case. Who would trust their data with Hertz at this point? You know, like I said, a company that's basically done, and they just have this treasure trove that they may no longer be able to afford to secure it properly. Like, that's the situation they're in, but there's no regulation, no rule says they have to treat the data a different way than they otherwise, you know, would in that situation where they're losing money and, you know, bleeding cash or whatever. It's unbelievable, but it's, again, unbelievable, but expected. And this is where you find yourself with these stories.
And secure FTPS, FTP is the name that escaped me for sending files back and forth. That's open source. And if you've ever used the FTP protocol, like the program that was available decades ago. It's the exact same thing. So if you're familiar with that, SFTP is the exact same thing, but it's secure, which is wonderful to use. Easy may not be as polished like other products, but it just works, right? It just works. That's what you want. And we can transition to this story about Nate, and it's an AI shopping app that promises a universal checkout experience. I've never heard of this app before, and there's a reason why that I've never heard of it. So the CEO of the app called, his name is Albert Saninger. Mm-hmm. He was charged with defrauding investors on this past Wednesday. This is according to the U.S. Department of Justice. And so he ended up collecting $50 million from investors that he raised back in 2018. And this was going to be used as a way for buying from any e-commerce site with a single click. And that's all what he claimed to be with using AI. The problem is the AI interaction was effectively 0%. They were using human contractors from the Philippines to manually complete the purchases. And it's kind of reminds me of the app version of Nikola, right? Like that's exactly what it reminds me of.
For people who don't remember the Nikola story, you're talking about the pusher they rolled out on stage, right? And then the video they had of a car rolling downhill as evidence that, you know, it hit a certain speed threshold or acceleration metric or something, like just the incredible stuff. But this is better because it's like
no propulsion whatsoever. Gravity was its only propulsion.
Yeah, this is an incredible story. I can just like a warehouse full of like low wage laborers instead of server racks serving the same purpose. Really like odd.
This is
odd,
a great story.
Yeah.
But the partying this guy must have done, because in 2023 January, he shuttered it. He basically sold all the assets because the company ran out of money. So 2018 to 2023, 5-year span, they raised $50 million. That's $10 million a year.
Yeah.
That is a lot of partying.
Out there, I think you could, like, if you're in the Philippines partying, you could probably do a lot of damage with $10 million a year.
I don't think he was paying them enough to even, like, it was, like you say, it was minimum wage.
No, he's not paying those guys, but, like, the damage you could do partying with $10 million a year would be significant. Yeah, you could put a dent in the party scene in the Philippines, I'm pretty sure.
But you could do it just about anywhere, $50 million over a 5-year period.
Yeah, maybe. Not in Canada, no. Certainly not in Toronto, but other places, yeah, definitely.
Like, why didn't we get in touch with this guy and just get chummy with him? Because
it's, you know, all the scammy companies we get emailing the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. I never saw one from Albert here. If we had gotten one from him, maybe we could have broken the story like a year earlier. But
maybe Nate, well, some representative from Nate sent us an email, but it was a poorly worded one because it was somebody from overseas, and we just deleted it. Right? Yeah, they wanted to come.
It was one of his AI bots.
AI, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Called Jorge from some.
That's right.
Anyways, not sure if you want to tie a bow in that story, but
I don't know. Do you want to say anything else insensitive, or should we just move on?
So yeah, let's talk about the story where it's good to see that open source utilities are being used. And this is something called UNC5174, and it's a Chinese hacker group that has links to China. The name, I can't give it enough thumbs down in this one. Like this,
University of North Carolina 5174. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a lettered corporation. Listen, we should note that if we had named our corporation UNC5174, we would be more likely to be able to get a bank account than we were naming it Canadian Bitcoiners Inc. So just keep that in mind.
It's that, you know what? This would actually make a decent password if you make it double the size and throw a few other characters like exclamation point, number sign, crap like that.
True.
That's how good, like this, it's almost just a random bunch of things to me the way I'm looking at it. But either way, these guys or gals or whoever the heck they are, they were using stealthy techniques and this open source software to attack their victims. And they were using the open source tool and command and control C2 infrastructure in the most recent campaign that they launched in January 2025. And they also deployed a variant of the Snow Light malware. Snow Light, it's almost like a bunch of snowflakes doing it. I'm not going to give up. But they're using the open source tool called VShell. So through that, they have the proprietary software Snow Light with the open source tool VShell and using that as a way of penetrating testing frameworks. And they're targeting Western countries like US, UK, Canada, and so forth. And who are they targeting over there? Well, it's research institutions, government organizations, technology companies, and so forth. And when they do get access, it gives them remote control over the system. So once it's compromised, they get access to it. And VShell, an open source backdoor, similarly was used to remotely control the compromised machine. So there you go. It's good to see that open source is being used in a way that it shouldn't be used. But hey, you know what? Open source is free and available for everybody to use, even this crazy name UNC5174. So good to see them use it, but it's too bad they're using it like this.
Did you see this thing about the living off the land technique they're using? That's a good name. I would like to rate that name. I would rate a 5 out of 5. I know it's not the name of a hacker group or white hat coding team or something, but I do like that name. And so, one of the techniques, I guess, in this living off the land is they use legitimate functions from software to look like they're not doing anything wrong. It's not doing anything wrong while it's actually grabbing data or doing whatever else it's doing while it's on your machine. Interesting stuff. I don't know enough about this whole software bit to speak deeply on this, but you're an open source guy. Do you ever see in your travels stories like this about some of the software you use? Like Linux, obviously famously open source. I would guess a lot of the Linux apps are the same way. I suppose you're not particularly worried. You never seen anything like this. So how did this get missed, you think?
I don't know if it's been missed. It's being used in a way that it shouldn't have been used in the first place.
Yeah, but is that kind of the same thing as getting missed? You don't think?
No, but what if they're using Linux operating system as the groundwork to run these programs? Then is Linux a problem? We should say that there's something.
No, I suppose you're right. Yeah, it's a fair point.
It's just using the tool in a way that is just, it's like kind of a strange way of a strange analogy, but it's running a bunch of people over with a car. Is the car the problem? It's the driver itself.
Oh, God. It. Don't tell the United Kingdom that. Anyway.
That just happened in Toronto at the old Ryerson, whatever it's called now.
When?
Two days ago?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah. Whatever Ryerson's called now. I forget the name of it. To me, it's always Ryerson.
Metro. The Met or something.
There you go. Yeah. So, something happened. So, somebody was run down.
I'll have to look into that.
But anyways, let's talk about 4chan.
You tell me in Toronto where you can't drive anywhere in less than an hour, someone decided to take a car to Ryerson University? That must have taken a long time.
I was in Toronto just a month ago. I drove in. I had to because I had to bring the family. And it's just cheaper that way. Hmm. It was cheaper for me to drive in and take the Go with the family.
Yeah, Go tickets are what, $15 each round trip?
Something like that. So yeah. I did the math. It was like, okay, it's going to be roughly the same amount of time, but cheaper to drive in and park. So hell yeah. So
interesting. Okay.
So yeah, 4chan, and they've been in the news quite a bit lately. There's some interesting developments going on over there. But with this specific one, it looks like there's potential we could finally get the list of the names of the people running it, the administrators of 4chan. And the platform itself does collect information about users, such as their IP address. And a suspected hack of the website might have gained info on who is running the show over there. What happened very recently, the website 4chan was hacked in a way that there was a message saying, "You got hacked XD." I don't know what the XD stands for, but either way.
It's a face. It's a face. If you turn it sideways, it's a laughing face. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So ASCII art, I love it. So clearly they must have compromised the system, and they were posting screenshots allegedly showing the back-end systems of 4chan. And they were also saying that there's a list of alleged 4chan administrators, moderators, usernames, and the emails associated. Those emails could be many, many years old. So they may or may not be able to pinpoint to anyone individual. But considering all the havoc that 4chan has been involved with, creating, stirring a controversy, and getting information on folks, imagine, what they did with Silk Road? I'm wondering if the same type of punishment is going to come out for this type of thing.
I have a different take on this.
But oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so I think 4chan is a government-run operation.
There was today.
I actually don't think there's any doubt about it, and I'll tell you why.
Did you see the users that are mostly accessing it?
Yeah,
I can't even say it. You saw that. Is Israel. That part of your?
They're all the Israel traffic okay. coming in heavy. There's a couple of forums I follow for stuff about like government. People think that are like government honeypots. I'm going to give you some interesting commentary. You tell me what you think. Well, I'll probably either be banned or killed for this, I guess. So see ya never. But
am I hosting this alone next week?
Jeez. The pornographic Chan subreddit equivalent, whatever they are, basically went dead on October 7th, 2023.
You know what? I had even... Wait.
They basically went dead.
School me on this. I had no idea there was the that equivalent of 4chan.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's apparently the same. I'll level with you. I don't go to 4chan, but I do go to
same
Reddit.
Here.
Yeah, so I do go to Reddit, and Reddit has a couple of different good threads on this. The traffic for the pornographic imagery basically dropped off a cliff on October 7th. Like that. Lasted for almost a week and then picked up again about a week after those attacks in Israel. Then you have that. You know, is it conspiratorial? I don't know. It's just an anecdotal data point that someone from Reddit was able to show some data on. Then you have this other photo leaked by the hackers, the group called Soyjack.party, by the way, incredible name, 5 out of 5. They talk about where all the traffic's coming from. And I think it was overwhelming. It was like 40-50% of all the posts coming from that region of the world. You can make it that what you will, but it seems very likely to me that that's a government-run operation, or at least a government-subsidized or funded, or, you know, astroturfing going on. Like, you pick your term, but I doubt very much that that's an organic set of users, an organic set of content. 4chan, famously divisive, a lot of anti-Semitism, race baiting, porn, like the most unsavory stuff you would never see on Reddit, even on Twitter. You know, Twitter's gone downhill in that regard the last 6-7 months, but you'd not even see the stuff there. And so I really do think that there's a chance that we never hear anything about this list of admins because they're on the payroll. But we'll see. You know, it's a story we'll keep an eye on. And for sure, if there's more releases from that group, they're going to make front page news on Reddit and other places. Like, we'll talk about it here. There's no doubt. But that data is hard to disprove, right? It's hard to kind of, how do you finesse that? How do you spin that? I don't know. It's difficult.
Yeah, you have to take it at face value. There's nothing to compare it to say this is true or false. They just provide it you run with it.
And by the way, this, when I say it's like, you know, oh, it's the post coming from Israel, I'm not saying, oh, it's the Jews. I'm saying that there's a clear link between like the U.S. intelligence services and just the Western intelligence services and Israel. I don't think anybody would dispute that. You know, they're quote unquote the greatest ally. Every time you turn on the TV, it is what it is. But there's clearly something happening on 4chan from that region of the world. What exactly is happening? It's up to you to decide. But there's data around that makes it look a bit suspicious.
It's still kind of odd that attack that took place in October of 2023, was it?
23 or 22. I don't know exactly when, but.
And they were using like paratroopers kind of thing. And
yeah, they like glided in on, it looked like something you might see in a Mario Kart race, honestly. Like they're going from track to track or something. But yeah, they didn't look very high tech or advanced.
Given
but it got
all
through
all
the Iron Dome, right? So
right. But yeah. That's for a different type of.
Well, hey, it sounds like a conspiracy theory forming on this program.
No, I'm just wondering, like, given all the money that they even put into intelligence, not to say intelligence picks up everything,
yeah,
but this was a pretty big attack.
Why don't you offer them some identity monitoring? What do you think is enough? 2 years, 3 years for that shortfall?
That's a good question. Is identity monitoring enough? Should we give them something else?
How much more can we give? That's the industry standard, is it not? When your privacy and security fails, you get a year or 2 years, and that's all.
Let's give them a trial version of this novel AI stuff. That's the next story we could talk about. It's the AI art program. And you're pretty, like, you've gone down this path of learning.
I'm obsessed. I've like developed some kind of autism when it comes to making AI.
That's all right,
images.
Right? And yeah. So this is taking the community by storm in Japan, the anime community, and because they could quickly generate high quality illustrations. And, you know, there is some benefits here because there's some productivity here that could be greatly increased and as a result of this. But many artists are reacting negatively to this because the AI training data sets are being used without permission. So there's some legality here and ethics surrounding all of this. It's well beyond the scope of what I do. But
what are the ethics? What do you think the ethics are? Are you with or against this idea that you're not allowed to train on you know, I guess you'd call it data in this case, like the data that's out there.
It depends how the information is given to the world. Like if I own it, if I'm putting it out there for free and public use, then you should be able to troll it and getting information. But if it's like behind a paywall, for instance, and in order to own it, you have to pay money. Like then I kind of have I kind of understand where they're coming from, where they're getting it without permission. So it really depends on how the information is being stored and given to the user, presented to the user. So I'm going to leave the story mostly to you because like you said that you're using this quite a bit. So I'm curious if you have any issues with how this is being used. I'm not much into the anime community. I don't really care about it, but certainly, you know, I could relate it if there is some intellectual property that's being infringed here. Like clearly that's something that shouldn't be done, but
what's
the answer? I don't know.
I'll tell you, my experience with the Grok image generator I use the most often. Canvas I use once in a while, and you and I have messed around with some other ones because we didn't want to do thumbnails every week. There's always it's sort of a two-part process for me. The first part is I have to tell the image what I want the general vibe to be. So, for example, I made this image a few weeks ago of Pierre Poilievre and Mark Carney looking each other in the eye in like a boxing arena setting and had a little bit of like smoke behind him. You know, it's kind of a gritty photo, blah, blah, blah. And I don't have the words all the time because I'm not an artist. I don't draw. I've never been, inclined that way, but I kind of know in my head what I want to see. The AI on Grok's side also thinks it knows what I want to see. But it also makes a suggestion when the process is complete about what it thinks maybe you missed in terms of describing the scene in your head. And so if I think about this story compared to my own experience, you may get, and I've had this in the past. Do you want this to look, or it'll make a suggestion like make it look like a scene out of Batman Forever or Batman Begins, right? Because what is Batman Begins, Batman Forever? Those Christopher Nolan Batman movies are dark, gritty, kind of dimly lit, and it gives a different vibe than what you might see, you know, if you describe a boxing match, right? It's not an HBO production you're looking for. It's a gritty street fight you're looking for, but it's hard to describe that. So it gives you some point of reference from which to work, especially now that they have this edit feature for all the photos. Is that IP infringement? I don't know. If I ask for something in the style of Andy Warhol, is it IP infringement? I don't know. But everyone knows what a Warhol looks like. If I ask for a picture of you and me in the style of Andy Warhol for a thumbnail, you know, you and me are holding soup cans and four different high contrast squares, equally divided on a page. I've not stolen anything from Mr. Warhol. The colors are not copyrighted. The shape is not copyrighted. The style itself is not copyrighted, but everyone knows what I was going for. So it raises questions about that. Now, if I try and recreate something that you denied me access to, for example, if I say to some AI program that I want, I want you to clone this Madex totem that I have behind me and make it a different color scheme and then make it, you know, and then I put it through a free upscaler and I use it in my house. Like, I think that's the line. If you try and recreate something that you know is going to cost you money to get produced at like a, you know, A minus or B plus level, and then you either use it or sell it or pretend that you bought it or pretend it's that person's. The problem with these things that are, I think, obviously theft is that they're not obviously punishable. So what do you do? This is another example, I think, if you strip everything away, everything I've just said, it's an example of laws trying to keep up with technology that's moving faster and faster every day. The Grok image creation then costs like, you know, what is a premium plus membership on Twitter cost? It's like a couple $100 a year. And it gives you unlimited, unfettered, unrestricted access. You can make whatever you want as often as you want, as many different tries, as many different styles. There's no barriers.
Here's a hack. You don't even have to pay for it.
You really? Okay, so even better.
Yeah, I don't have a blue check mark on my account and I can make images and I've never come into a restriction of too many pictures. So
like everyone is doing this stuff and it's becoming more and more common. If you look on YouTube, the AI slop in thumbnails,
And even in videos, people are doing like AI slop videos all the time where they're just talking and there's AI video over top. It's going to keep going. And the question I have for regulators who say like, it's illegal, you can't do this. My question is, you know, and what are you going to do about it? Where's the law? There's no law. There's no letter of the law. There's no spirit of the existing laws that says you can't use an AI chatbot to give yourself a Warhol style photo to hang in your house because you can't afford a Warhol style photo.
I would love to hear the opinion of somebody that's close to you that's associated with this industry. They may give a different opinion.
My wife hates AI.
See, there you go.
She hates it. She hates it. She's right. Right. Like the thing that she's correct about is that it makes her job harder because now what she's finding, you know, she's on mat leave now, but even when she's freelancing, she's finding that people think they can give her an AI generated image or something they made on Canva and she can take it from a 5 to a 10. But like the people don't understand like complementary colors or kerning or font use or all these things that really make a design go from good to great. And you just simply cannot do it with AI. Paying a graphic designer is expensive because graphic design takes time and expertise. You know, if you don't know what kerning is, it's because you've not given it much thought. But these professionals know. They know how colors work. They know how Photoshop works, all these things that will give you a 10 out of 10 product. The question is, are we going to suddenly be happy with 6 out of 10 everywhere we look? I suspect that there's a lot of people who will be. And, you know, if I look at even AAA studios using this stuff, Call of Duty, I think I mentioned this on the show, the most recent Call of Duty game used AI for its loading screens and basically tried to get away with it until someone noticed that some of the characters in the background of one of the photos had like 8 fingers on each hand. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to see more and more of that because, as I've mentioned on our show, and I think I probably said it here too, there is a general slide away from attention to detail and longer form writing and stuff that requires an attention span toward quick dopamine hits, flashing lights. And, you know, in Call of Duty's case, people are not even looking at the loading screen anymore. What are you doing when the loading screen's on the TV?
Oh, you're doing something. You're looking at your phone.
You're on your phone. You're on party chat. You're on whatever, right? And so this stuff doesn't matter anymore. And it's, you know, there's savings in there for the company that adds to the bottom line, blah, blah, blah. I could go on forever about this, but the long and short is that there is no way for governments to enforce copyright laws against these people who are using AI. It's just too difficult. And it's going to become more and more difficult as, you know, because as we've talked about on the show before, if you're really a prompt wizard, there's no safeguard or guardrail baked into these products that's going to stop you from getting what you want, whether it's how to carry out a terrorist attack or how to get a Warhol painting. These prompts will get it done. And the guys who know how to use those prompts are going to continue to do so. So anyway, long-winded way of saying good luck to...
So the load screens, though, Joe, yeah. we have gone backwards, right? Like back in the day, you plug in or you blow in a cartridge and put it into the system.
Yeah.
Load screens, no. It just works.
It was just credits, right? You roll the one screen of credits, a claim would come across the screen, and then you're playing NBA Jam.
No updates. No downloads. It works. It's the final product. This is it. Enjoy. We've gone backwards, right? That's not progress, Joy. That's regression.
Yeah. I'm not debating with you. I think you're right.
So we have to go back to cartridges.
Let's get out of here. It's been 40 minutes. Thank you for listening to our urine commentary at the beginning of the show and our AI graphic design commentary at the end. And of course, the rest of the latest greatest in data breach and overreach. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. And register, subscribe, whatever your app uses as the verb to our podcast. Every week, Fridays, it's a release that you can't miss. We only talk about the top stories. There's always more in the newsletter. So go there, accessofeasy.com, and read the rest. Until next time, take care of yourselves and happy Easter, Bona Pasqua.